Hey everybody, welcome and thank you to coming to another episode of the Everyday Goddess, trying to create an extraordinary life. It is certainly challenging, isn't it? I'm gonna just pause for a second because one of the things that a lot of people have been sharing with me as the podcast is becoming more popular and being offered on so many new platforms now, and I'm really grateful. But everyone is kind of always like, well, you know, don't talk about time, don't talk about season, don't talk about the weather. It's kind of hard not to, truthfully. And I like to think that wherever I am in the moment that I'm sharing these podcasts, these episodes, it will translate to an awareness of an experience that you're having at any time. So whether you are listening right now at this moment, and I'll reference this by saying it is, you know, July 23rd or 22nd, 23rd. And see, I don't even know where I am. How you like that? And it's raining and it's 2018. And how could you not reference this time as far as I'm concerned? Because we are in what we call retrograde season. And part of what I wanted from this podcast was to bring spiritualism off its pedestal and into the mainstream so we all understand it. And it is very important why I chose to do this podcast now in this year and why these episodes are falling the way they are, just like anything else that around you is falling the way it is as far as events, experiences, awarenesses. So for me, if you're going to listen to this for the first time and this is going to be your first episode and it is 5 years from now, God, I'd be so happy. You could have an understanding. You might reflect back to this moment in time and then be able to relate it to where you are at the moment that you're listening to it. And that's the biggest thing we're experiencing right now in retrograde season. And I don't care if you don't give a rat's patootie about what retrograde season is. And if you think, you know, cosmology and astrology, astronomy, theological astronomy, theological astrology, spirituality is a bunch of BS, then you could put your head back in the sand and continue to be what my master, my teacher, Peter, would call a muggle and a sleepwalker. And, you know, just go with it. Hey, if that's how you ride the waves of consciousness, more power to you. It's an individual experience. If you are beginning to look around you and feeling that the shifts are not making sense, and maybe the flying by the seat of your pants awareness isn't really working because you're starting to create or feel fear because things seem random, then chances are you're awakening to the higher consciousness. Right now in this retrograde season, which started in June and is going to end in the end of August, is that there's 6 planets of communication and tasking in retrograde from Neptune. Jupiter just went direct. Mercury's going retrograde to Uranus. And I don't know if I say it right or wrong. I don't care. We know what planet it is. If I say Uranus and you want to laugh, awesome. If you're a purist and you're saying, think I'm saying it wrong, Uranus, that sounds better. Either way, it's in retrograde. So is Pluto. So is Mars. And matter of fact, truthfully, as other planets in August become direct, Venus starts to go retrograde. So we're really in this crux of these planets that are affecting communication for a really strong reason. And some of them, their positioning is to let go of the personality's perception and connect to spirituality, spiritualism, the essence, I call the breath of God, that flows through us, this invisible energy that merges and works from the soul to the ego. And for me, I always say the soul is a holding pattern. There's a higher self above the soul. That's the closest image to God. That's aspects of ourself. And the soul is kind of like Newark Airport with a control tower, and all the information from every lifetime is in there and being navigated and directed to aspects of self, aspects of awareness, dimension, parallel existence, black hole, whatever you want to call it, whatever you're into. I don't want to go too deep. But anyway, these planets are aligned in this moment for this reason. And it is before time. We are in the beginning of a new age. It's the age of Aquarius. So you have planets that are retrograding in Capricorn, which are inviting us to have more of a finite knowledge of something that is so infinite, spiritualism, that has really no vessel. We're the vessel. You know, this physical body, this human experience is the vessel that the spirit is choosing to have at this moment. But this esoteric studies, the metaphysical studies that really don't have these constraints that you can put them in, containers that you can put them in, because we are moving away from organized religion. And that's what organized religion served as we came from a polytheistic experience, which was multi-gods and goddesses. And we moved into a monotheistic experience, the Piscean Age, one God. We are now in the Aquarian Age, which is water. And if you think water really can't be held, right, even when you put it in a container, as it keeps flowing, it will find its way out of the container. It flows, it moves, it could take many shapes. And that's pretty much what spiritualism is. It can take many shapes. It can flow in many different directions. It's an infinite energy. But the new age of Aquarius that we're in is saying, once again, we're shifting our awareness from monotheism. And that's what organized religion helped us understand, that, you know, from going from many gods and goddesses that we felt we didn't have any control over our lives, there were other deities or energies that were more powerful than us, to having one single energy that we felt is more powerful than us, to moving to the awareness that that energy is us and we are the powerful beings, and that there is an oversoul, a God, a supreme being, an essence, an energy, universal, that flows through us. So that's what we're experiencing right now. And I, you know, look at, to think about it, you could say, God, in the beginning, either at the Big Bang or when God looked down and said, okay, I'm going to create Earth and give it some beings, creatures, and I'm going to put some people, some energies in charge. You could look at today and say somebody might have fallen asleep on the job, because what were they thinking to have all this move together the way it is? It almost looks like a clusterfuck. You know, so what's bringing all this energy together? Did someone fall asleep, or is this just a cruel practical joke that's a billion years in the making? You know, waiting if someone's going to prank us, because it could feel that way. It could feel almost of a pranking, because we've lost touch through our everyday experiences to the bigger picture. And that bigger picture is the collective consciousness and the awareness of our essence and who we really are. And I said this many times in podcasts before, if God, when I was coming down, would have told me about the middle, I would have said, screw you, I'm not being born. Keep it, I'm done. If I was born with, and as our memories when we're born start to get filled with the knowledge that we need for the existence here, the experience and the existence here in this dynamics that you were born into, memory of where we came, so to say, starts to be erased by information that's being put in. And the most informative years of life are from, you know, in utero, truthfully, because we know that babies can hear music. I know for a fact my son did. I played music. I read to him, and it's no wonder that he's a crazy musician right now. And I'm so proud of him. But, you know, I can remember when he was first born, when he was able to let his eyes follow things and move his head a little bit, if there were certain songs playing he could hear, he would actually let you know he was recognizing them. Or let himself know he was recognizing them. So we do know that from in utero, we're starting to create the experiences and gain the knowledge that we need for this existence. And all the way up until, I think they say 6 or 7 years old, think about the amount of energy and knowledge that the human mind and body is absorbing from learning how to see, swallow, hear, differentiate, speak, roll over, crawl, walk, run, and then learn communication. So it's amazing, right? But so what we're experiencing right now, and it isn't a cruel joke, I promise you, what's happening astrologically and planetary, it's the ushering in of this new age, and it's helping humanity with practical tools. So these planetary alignments and the energies that we feel through these shifts. And if you don't believe it, it's just about gravity. If you really need a finite instrument, just think about gravity and the tides as they change with the full moon. And that is going to be playing into this podcast because Mercury is going retrograde July 6th. And we have a blood full moon lunar eclipse, the longest of this century, being 1 hour and 23 minutes long. And those 23 minutes are important. Imagine that. Those 23 minutes are important numerologically. So we have all these practical tools that we can connect to that can help us understand what we're experiencing. And what we're experiencing is the middle. We're in the middle. From the time we're born till the time we die, everything is continuously a middle. And then the next transition, that beginning and end, is only momentarily. It's the journey. It's the process. It's the middle. And yes, I know. I said I wouldn't have come back if the middle was like this. I probably would have said, you're crazy. Keep it. I don't want that. But here I am. Here you are. Part of what we're experiencing in this middle, in this shift to have a greater awareness of who we are, and that's crazy because you're like, well, what do you mean, who am I? And I know for a long time, I was like, what are they talking about? Who am I? I don't know. Today I'm Bianca. Tomorrow I'm Bianca in a bad mood. I don't know. Bianca happy? Bianca the podcaster, Bianca the life strategist, Bianca the restaurant owner, Bianca the mother. Which identity would you like? So what does that mean? And then we have these other terms that we're experiencing, and that is owning your truth. That's a laugh. How do I own my truth? My truth changes. So let me break it down to you in something that is a little bit more palatable and more easier to comprehend. The idea of owning your truth is really, truly connecting to the emotions that we swallow when certain events, situations, experiences happen. Bury them. That's owning the truth. Looking at them, reflecting. And that's the reflection of the past history that I invite you all to do. I don't want you to go back and relive it with this anger of like, I got to relive it. I want you to go back and look at something because I want you to connect to the experience. Now, you have to understand something. Emotions aren't bad. We have them. We are beings. And it's funny, we're in an emotional age. Water is about emotion, but it is scientifically proven, right, that biologically we are made up of water. So if we are made up of water and energy, then we must be emotional. Emotions are not negative. They can create negative experiences when they are not truly absorbed and accounted for. Now, happiness we tend to run away from because we think it's fleeting, and we tend to not want to feel happiness because we love it so much. But in the back of our heads, we're like, well, it goes away so fast. So I'm afraid to connect to it because I'm going to lose it anyway. So it's just better not to have it in the first place. Self-sabotage. Anger. We know anger can be healthy, and it's a great release when it's controlled. And yes, that's the whole idea. These things that we cannot put into canisters, things that we cannot contain, we still do have the power of control. And that is just like the volume on your car stereo, as you can make it higher or lower. The bass and the treble, as you can change, right? You can change the bass, you can change the treble to change the experience of what you're hearing. Maybe not what the original person or artist put out, but how you're going to choose to experience it. That's the middle. That's what you're experiencing right now. And what we are asking during this period of the retrograde season is this reflection. All these planets are planets of reflection, of communication, and of tasks. And one particular planet, Neptune, is really truly the planet of spirituality. Neptune, if you know anything about the Greek gods, he is, the king of the sea. He's Aphrodite's father. And we are in the age of Aquarius, so Aphrodite could be Venus if you are going into the Roman mythology, and her father is Zeus. So, you have these, and he's considered to be out in the heavens. So there's these conflicting stories, but this similar energy that, we are in a divine feminine age, and that we are in the age of water, and that we are in the age of spirituality, these energies that you really can't touch. You can touch and feel the flesh, but you can't necessarily touch and feel sadness, happiness, anger. You can experience it. And, back up everybody before you all go, yay, divine feminine, and we're in the age of the goddess. Awesome. Back it up. If you look at Aquarius, it is a man carrying a jug of water on his shoulder, and the water is pouring out. So we need divine feminine, divine masculine, the yin yang. So don't all get all groovy up on yourselves like, uh-oh, my time is here, me too-ing it up. And yeah, I know I'm me too'd over, I'm sorry. Just like everything else, it has gone too far, but that's what we're learning. That's what the middle is about. The middle is about finding your truth by reflecting through what you are swallowing. What are you pushing down? What are you not allowing out? And the truth is, it'll eventually come out, just not where you are in the moment that you decided to swallow it. It'll come out somewhere else. Brené Brown, who's just written another book called Rising Strong, which I truly think is the three books, is undeniably her best. And I think she would feel the same way. And, it's only going to get better, right? But I love some of the terms she uses because, again, she's not all out there, She's here in the mainstream, and she's experienced, reality. And when I say experienced reality, there is something to that, my friends. I talk from an experience. I talk from informative experiences, meaning I went through it. So I'm sharing the practical tools that I saw work for me, work for others that were in the same experience for me with me, because maybe it was different. And then what I've shared along the way, so I have kind of a tool chest of things that I can offer that are connected spiritually through my teachings, through my lessons that were esoteric to practical. So she has something she calls chandeliering, and I love it. And the idea is that a chandelier is usually all the way up on the ceiling, right? And when you're chandeliering emotions, it means that you've gone from 0 to 60, and your emotions can go from the floor to the chandelier in a second. And it's those explosions. And what those really are is the offloading of everything that has been swallowed by the person who just chandeliered. And usually what starts to happen when we are in energies that chandelier, meaning that instead of dealing with the emotions that they're having at any one time, and they swallow and swallow and swallow and swallow, and they don't speak emotionally, they don't have the emotional intellect or the emotional vocabulary to speak at what they're feeling, then it offloads. The body can't take it anymore, and it just regurgitates it out. That's the truth, right? It's like if you keep drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking, eventually the stomach is going to say, yo, I've had too much, and it's going to throw up. And it's the same thing, right? The body is going to say, this is toxic. Don't down that bottle of tequila, because if you do, we're going to get sick. And everyone around us is going to experience it, not just you. So it's the owning your truth is coming to the awareness of what we're doing when we're doing it. Road rage, I've been talking about it all week. I mean, truth be told, the person that you're having road rage with, you don't even know. The one that you're flipping off underneath your dashboard or you're cursing under your breath, you don't even know. And truthfully, you're not even aware of what they did. All you are is in the moment of shock of you either moving your car out of a lane or not into a spot. And we're blaming the other person. But chances are we weren't even aware. We were on autopilot anyway. But that was enough to touch us. And that slight touching, right, is so painful that it triggers an emotional outbreak, right? It's like the dam breaking. It's like the water's pushing so much against the dam that, you know, even though you put your finger on one hole, the water's coming out from somewhere else. And eventually you put as many band-aids as you can on the dam, right? Little boy Blue, he's putting corks everywhere. And eventually the water that's hidden behind the dam says, I've got to move. And we'll break the dam. That's your emotions. So if you experience people who are chandeliering, if you yourself are chandeliering, if you are yourself swallow so much constantly, constantly, and you're afraid to express your feelings out of shame or out of confusion, then it's got to come out somewhere. That's just cause and effect. It's got to. Just how it's, that's the laws. That's when people talk about laws of attraction, that's a law of attraction. It's just got to happen. Now, what happens is, though, you know, those around us, you know, someone who is chandeliering or someone who is having these explosions, you know, they're aware of it, but now they're going to swallow that too. They're going to swallow that too. And that's where gaslighting comes in, because it's almost like, yikes, I didn't do that. What are you talking about? Oh, stop it. You made me do that. You made me explode. And you're looking at them going, no, I didn't. That wasn't me. I was just sitting here. All I did was get up. And that getting up, I brushed your pant leg by accident from the couch. And oh my God, you became an animal. I know myself. I've experienced it. I've just left something, a relationship that left me very confused for a moment. And then I realized, you know, again, that explosion that I was experiencing wasn't me. And although the explosions were happening a lot, again, they weren't me. And I lost trust in the situation, in the relationship. And, you know, for my own reasons, was like, I can't be a party to this anymore because I can't walk on eggshells because I don't know when the explosions are coming. Hell, it happened one night over a plate of pasta. I was like, yo, I agree. The pasta sucks, man. I screwed up the recipe. And World War III ensued. And vicious names were thrown at me. And I was like, yikes, over a plate of pasta? Where'd that come from? But that's what starts to happen when we are not communicating what our emotions are and what we're experiencing in any one moment. And that individual might have had the world's worst day and was swallowing a lot. And that was just it. That was just the trigger. And I don't know that. You know, there was no expression. There was no conversation. So right now, this energy that we're in is inviting us to not communicate with everybody else and go, hey, you know, by the way, 10 years ago, Joe, you stole my lunch. And, you know, I'm really, that left me emotionally scarred and damaged. And here we are 10 years later, and I think I should go share that with you now so I can feel better. I was really angry and pissed off. That's not what this is inviting you to do. What it is inviting you to do is to look at that experience of the past and ask yourself why in that moment you were angry, upset, sad, felt victimized, felt shame. Address it. And see what that really was, because chances are in that moment that you can remember, it probably wasn't even the moment that created that original awareness. There was something before it. But that's looking at the emotional energy and realizing that we can control it once we become accountable ourselves for it. You know, I exploded back during the pasta situation because it was like a 5 minute, which felt like 4 hours of yelling about pasta. And I finally had my breaking point. I finally hit my chandelier. And when I went, I went. You know, and just like anything else, when two people are in those volatile moments, there are things that you say and do that you cannot take back. And you have to own that. You have to own it. I own it. I definitely own it. I own that I wasn't the trigger. I own that I had nothing to do with it in that moment. But I do own and I am accountable for what I did after. I probably should have just let it go. But I had, again, been experiencing it from this individual and had really, my trust was broken and I was heartbroken over that trust being broken. I was heartbroken over that. That why would that person put us back in that place? And that person doesn't even realize they did that. So when you visit experiences, it's not just about visiting your perception of that experience. It's about being able to put yourself in the other person's shoes as well. And to think outside of the box about what led up to those experiences. Even a boss, right? So sometimes we talk about bosses being really, right, sometimes the biggest culprits of these explosions, the swallowing, and then all of a sudden something happens in the office and, you know, all hell breaks loose and then everyone now is fearful of the boss. And that then feeds to the boss's insecurities. And chances are you didn't even realize what the boss was dealing with beforehand. So there's all these other things that come into play. The most important thing that is in this awareness is that we can't take anything personally that's coming from outside ourselves. Because there is another awareness. What we can do, and that's in the four agreements, right, is become impeccable with our words. Be mindful. Because words we can't take back. I've learned that. I'm still guilty of it, having to watch. The invitation is to have conversation before the explosions. To have conversations that are uncomfortable that maybe you don't want to have because maybe the truth isn't what you want that truth to be. But once it's out, then you can deal with the experience in the moment. And now you're in control of your emotions. There are going to be conversations that are awkward, that are going to make us sad, that are going to make us uncomfortable. Those are the middle conversations. Those are the conversations we have to have. They're the most beneficial conversations. It's so true. Growth does not come unless things, right, are breaking, right? The things around us are breaking and everyone's got to figure out how to fix it. And you work together as a team to fix things. And that's what we're experiencing right now. This owning your truth is to be able to say to yourself, what am I swallowing? Why am I swallowing it? Why do I feel I need to swallow it? Is it shame? Is it fear of losing my partner? Why am I afraid that I'm going to lose my partner? Was it something in the past that let me feel this way? And am I bringing it forward in this relationship? And is it contaminating and corrupting the powerful now moment I'm in now? And that's it. Is it contaminating and corrupting the powerful now moment I'm in? See, the ego isn't bad. Emotions aren't negative. Personality is those two things merged together. And the personality then becomes the force to be reckoned with. You know, the soul has the spirit and it comes down and wants to have this experience together and unified. And it recognizes that it is a human experience and that there are ugly moments. And it's from those ugly moments that we begin to realize the growth, the expansion, and the experiences of sustainable happiness. Things happen, shit happens. You know, God's not the puppeteer. But if we don't face the things that are happening emotionally first and get in control of them with a mindful awareness, then we get caught up in our own story. And that's why Miguel Ruiz says, don't take anything personally, because you don't know what the story in somebody else's head is playing. They're missing complete conversations because they're having a conversation in the back of their head instead of what they'd like to say, what they'd like to hear. And then when they finally become present and mindful and awake and aware in the moment, the situation's already changed, and that's where fear comes in. And that's where everyone begins to feel out of control and powerless, because moments have passed while you were playing the story in your head and you were just living on autopilot. That's the idea of becoming mindful. You know, mindfulness isn't just counting your breaths and sitting in meditation or walking down the street and going, oh, the leaves are green, the car is silver, it's raining outside, the sky isn't blue. No, mindfulness is, what am I experiencing here in this moment as I'm doing this podcast, as you're listening to this podcast? I'm driving. Am I aware of what's going on around me? I'm sitting. Are things coming up as I'm listening? Do I feel agitated? Do I feel calm? Am I really paying attention? Did I just miss everything that Bianca just said? How did the podcast end? I just turned it on. Because something I said triggered you to go into your own movie. So mindfulness is being in where you are. You know, not, oh, the air is blowing my hair as I'm sitting here talking. No, it's, what am I hearing? And as I'm hearing it, am I really actively listening? Or am I being caught up in my own emotions and then trying to swallow it? Do I have the courage to be vulnerable, to turn around and say, can we stop a moment? Something you just said, or something I just heard triggered something in me, and I just want to get clarity first before this turns into a chandelier moment. So I highly recommend Brené Brown's book. It's fabulous. I think it's a great practical tool to help understanding emotions and why they're important. And the act of being mindful, this moving meditation, that it's not this esoteric thing of just sitting there and counting your breaths or walking and looking at the butterfly floating past, but being completely accountable and aware of everything you're experiencing. Remember, we are multi-sensory beings. We have 5 physical senses that take in information, and then we have 5 other senses, the perception senses or the soul senses, the observation senses, that we merge together to create this full experience, the intuitiveness to understand, am I intuitively knowing what's going to happen next, or am I just offloading, projecting, deflecting, reflecting? Am I actively listening, or am I already creating my answer and my comeback in my head before that person's even done talking? Am I willing and vulnerable enough to sit down and say, I love you, and I'm sorry that whenever we're together, I'm your trigger? I'm sure it might be because you feel comfortable and safe with me to do so, but it's making me feel uncomfortable and I don't feel safe being around it. Children are wonderful examples of it. Usually somebody who is able to explode is exploding around situations they feel that they can control. And that's why it can always almost look be abusive, right, from a boss or a partner, because their dominant energy is looks like it's controlling it and taking advantage of the situation or us. When in truth, it's this comfortable energy that a child has, knowing that that parent unconditionally loves them and supports them. So when they have the temper tantrum or they break the vase and they get in trouble, right? And or they lash out, they still feel loved and secure. So it's hard to throw all these balls up in the air. You've got to look at your own individual situations. You know, if I tried having those conversations before, you know, and the other individual didn't want to be present for the conversation. Nothing I can do about that. I have to walk away. I can't beat a dead horse. I'm sad, heartbroken, but I can't get lost in the possibilities of what could have been or what was. You know, the situation was not healthy for anyone. So you have to really be willing to look at it multifaceted, multisensory, not just, well, I was in pain and they're constantly yelling and I didn't do anything, so I'm just going to pick up and leave. Or, you know, or I'm never going to talk to them again, or I'm quitting that job. You know, if the situation has become toxic enough and the other individual is not willing to do the work with you, then yes, exit. But have the conversation before you jump ship. Because then all you're doing then is the same thing. You're offloading. You've created another situation where you did not speak. You did not share. You were not vulnerable enough to fall and try to get back up. You know, Brené Brown often references the Man in the Arena speech by Theodore Roosevelt. It was in her first book, her second book, Daring Greatly, is again in this book, Rising Strong. And the reference is, it's the man in the arena who falls and gets back up, and maybe did not win. No one cares about winning or losing. You shouldn't care. It's about that person who's willing to get back up and keep going on, even if they lost the battle. You know, it's not the man who's sitting there judging, and I'm using man because it's in the speech, but the being that's sitting there judging and going, oh, they're right or wrong. You know, it's the person with their dirt on their face that, you know, maybe is battle scarred. It's just not letting those battle scars be leather and then iron and steel and become a suit of armor that you think is protecting you from the outside world, because truthfully all it's doing is negating your experiences, creating a protective bubble around you that is unrealistic. There was a boot there in Zazen Buddhism, there is a term And it's that man or humanity or beings are never in their reality. They are only perceiving their ideas of what that reality is. So that's loosely translated, but think about that. We're not in the reality. We're in our ideas of what that reality is. So if you could take those things into account and use them. We're moving into a time of oneness, which means unity and team. It's that vulnerable energy of being able to work together and really truly see, maybe I am fabulous at doing one thing, but I am not great at something else. And in being vulnerable and aware enough with security and confidence to say, yes, I can do that. No, I can't. And maybe there is somebody I can partner with that can do it. Wonderful leaders, creative leaders know that. You know, you could see it. There's a book, Creativity, Inc., by the CEO of Pixar. And he talks about, you know, although his dream was to become a Disney animator, he physically didn't have the gift of art to do it, but he found computers. And lo and behold, here he is at Pixar. But he also knows that he can't sit there at the computer and do everything that is needed to make Toy Story. He needs a team. And it's the surrendering of his dream to the team to work together. And it's not, and even as the movie's starting to come out, he's still feeling sad and depression. And it's not until he realizes that that's what that dream really is. It's the unity of all the beings together. It's the experience, not the end result, but the experience of working with all these individuals. You know, and it's not that, oh, that's me. That was my dream. I dreamed of being a Disney animator, and here I am now creating these movies for Disney. My dream. I get all the credit. Look at me. But realizing that the team brought the dream together and that everybody had a different talent and that it was really, truly his leadership and letting them all be creative. And that's what a leader does, right? A leader, true. The idea of a leader is someone who can really take a back seat and know that they brought the team together, that they could see the wonderful gifts in each individual and make it cohesive, collective, and collaborative. So there is unity, balance, harmony, and equality. That's what we're in right now. That's what Mercury retrograde is inviting you with the blood moon on the 27th. If you really want to go into all the details, you can go into numerologist. There's a great video about the numbers and 23 and why is it so important. And then 999 and the planets that are trining. I mean, that's just so many wonderful sciences. And I'm grateful that I could bring you these practical tools for you to investigate and see what resonates, that you, your awareness, the resonation, what it means is, what is it that you understand? We all understand things differently. We absorb information differently, so we understand it differently, each of us. And sometimes it could be the same movie, but listen, if you're in Russia, you're listening to the movie in Russian, right? You're not listening to it in English to understand it. That was the original reason for organized religion, was to be able to create the whys, the questions and the answers in multitudes of languages of what we were experiencing, this power that we have within us. And for me, you know, the Ascended Master Jesus of the Christed energy talks about that. He never says, it's like, I'm just a facilitator of this energy. We all have this energy. Some of us have it at a heightened ability. Some of us want it at a heightened ability, and some of us don't. That's a personal choice too. But together, cohesively and collectively, we work together to make these things happen. And that it is through struggle that we learn this. It's if we don't have friction, we wouldn't have fire, right? We wouldn't have light or heat. So it's connecting in a way to tools that you are able to understand and work with grace and ease. Not that you're being force-fed or that you're forcing yourself and creating frustration. It's a personal choice, and that's where the personality isn't a bad thing either. It's just about creating these balances. And the one thing is that during the season, it is asking to look back, to look at your old dreams, to look at not the dreams of this past year, but go back even down to 2008. What did I want to create for 2018, 10 years ago? Am I creating it? Did I create it? Do I still want to create it? Did it evolve? Maybe the creation's bigger. Maybe that desire's changed. It's shifted. It's grown. Or it's dissipated. What's holding me back? The old patterns, right? The old patterns mean that I'm just constantly doing the same thing over and over again. It's not that we keep attracting the same people into our lives. It's just that we're still behaving the same way. Somebody did something, I'm afraid to say something about it, so I'll swallow it. You know, one of the things that's mentioned is that, you know, women are immediately feel trigger shame through body image and men through not being strong enough. And so when you hear that, you're like, oh man, that was what's going through her head when I said, you look so beautiful in the color blue. And your friend automatically heard, I look fat in this dress. Why didn't she mention I look good in this dress? Why did she just say I look good in the color blue? They were just saying I look good in the color blue because there was nothing else to say. It really is that I look fat in this dress. Crazy, right? And I'm just using that as an example. I mean, truthfully, we all have different shames. We all, and shame is a trigger, something that we want to swallow, that we're afraid to address from experiences in the past that negated it from being beneficial. So it doesn't have to be body shame. That's just a general. It doesn't have to be strength. That's just a general. It's looking and seeing what yours is and then, you know, addressing it by bringing it to the surface, becoming accountable for it, and then not letting it go, but allowing it to reabsorb into your aspect of the self that you're in the experience as a beneficial strategy, lesson, awareness, transmuting it from powerless into power. That's what that is. From feeling out of control into control. And not exerting dominance on another. It's polarity. It's two opposing forces not trying to dominate one another, but two opposing forces to work together to create stability. You know, North and South Pole. Negative, positive magnet. Standing on one leg. Going into standing half moon in a yoga pose. Moving in opposite directions to create stability. Finding unity and harmony and balance in our differences to unify. So, the book is Brené Brown's Rising Strong, highly suggested. Creativity Inc. is another great book, especially if you are in business, if you are in roles, just to understand just the ideas of being able to create team, and that our vision truly is about the journey and the process. The end result is fleeting. The process is where all the juicy stuff is. And as much as we hate the middle, we are the middle. We are in it. Everything that we have right this second is a middle. Even as this podcast is coming to an end, you are already in the middle of the experience. I will be interviewing Elena Ginsberg from Primary Aesthetics this week. So look forward to hearing about holistic practices and the connection of the spirit to the personality and embracing, you know, our flaws, truthfully. And also, I am a guest on Wise Words from a Decent Man, which is, I understand they might be changing their podcast to Pimpin' Ain't Easy. And that is Brian and Alex from Chaos Fitness's podcast. Hopefully that link will be up soon. It was fun doing the interview with them, and I can't wait to be with them again on August 12th. I will be interviewing them at the Dumbo Soho House. I'll be out in the Hamptons with the EV Social. So if you're out east, check us out. And I love being stuck in the middle with you. Namaste, everybody. I hope you found this podcast a practical tool that helped bring inspiration, insight, and awareness to help awaken you to your power, and that spirituality is what you are. It's the human experience. It's not some mumbo jumbo. You are powerful creators and creations. I love you all. Ciao for now.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.